This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hi, this is Heath Alk, your Farm Bureau Young Leader from Montgomery County. Montgomery County Farm Bureau farming members receive Farm Week, a free farming newspaper. Farm Week is one of the nation's leading farm publications. Get Farm Week by joining Montgomery County Farm Bureau. For more details, call 217-532-6171 or check our website at www.montgomerycountyfb.com. Or come into the office, brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer's there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Prepare yourself for the flu season. Michelle's Pharmacy is now giving vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy offers influenza, pneumonia, Zostavax, and Tdap vaccinations. Protect yourself today. Get all your vaccinations at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call 854-4022 or 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
6:11 on this Tuesday morning. First of all, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. December wheat trading at 8.54 3/4, up 6.5. March wheat trading at 8.66 3/4, up 6.25. December corn trading at 7.44, up 6.75. March corn trading at 7.44, up 6.75. November soybeans now trading at 14.97 1/4, up 4.75. January beans trading at 14.96 1/2. Now 14.96 3/4, and that is up a nickel. The overnight crude oil market, 6 cents lower at 91.79. The Brent crude, 53 cents lower at 115.27. The December gold contract, $3.80 higher at $1,741.40. The U.S. dollar index, 0.242 lower at 79.5. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended the day at 8.48 1/4, that's down 8.5. March wheat ended at 8.60 1/2, down 8.75. May wheat ended at 8.64, down 8.75. December corn yesterday closed at 7.37 1/4, down 15.5. March corn closed at 7.37 1/4, down 15.5. May corn ended at 7.31 3/4, down 15.5. November soybeans yesterday ended at 14.92 1/2, down 30. January beans ended at 14.91 3/4, down 30.25. March beans ended at 14.66, down 26. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 4.56.10, down 91. January meal, 449.80, down 97. March meal ended at 436.80, down 76. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.01, down 66. January oil ended at 50.40, down 65. March oil ended at 50.90, down 64. December oats yesterday ended at 388, down 4. March oats ended at 391, down 4. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended lower on Monday afternoon, with soybeans and corn sharply lower. Speculator and fund selling at the point of trade to push soybean futures lower. Weekly export inspection figures were very good for soybeans at 57.8 million bushels, with corn at 17.2 million bushels, and wheat at only 7 million bushels. In northern and western Illinois, Country Grain Dealers quoted shale corn bids 12 to 15 cents lower at 7.13 to 7.31, and soybeans dropped 30 to 31 cents at 14.60 to 14.72. In central Illinois, Country Grain Dealers quoted those shell corn bids 15 cents lower at 7.26 to 7.41, soybeans down 30 cents at 14.74 to 14.84. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 16 cents at 7.32 to 7.49, soybeans dropped by 29 to 32 cents, ranging from 14.68 to 14.94, and the wheat bids mostly 5 to 9 lower at 8.11 to 8.33. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 30 cents lower, ranging from 15.02 to 15.07. Basis ended steady at 10 to 15 over November. High Pro soybean meal, 48% on a truck basis, offered $9.10 lower today, ranging from 4.64.10 to 4.74.10. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 15 cents at 7.42 to 7.52, with basis ending steady at 5 to 15 over December, and dry distiller grains today steady at 2.65 to 2.95 per ton. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 16 to 17 lower at 7.26 to 7.27, basis down 1 to 2 cents, ranging from 11 to 10 under December. Soybeans were 34 to 35 cents lower at 14.85 to 14.87, with basis down 4 to 5 cents at 7 under to 5 under November. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery down 8 cents on Monday, ranging from 7.99 to 8.03, with basis ending steady at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 14 to 15 lower at 7.08 to 7.36. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 30 to 31 cents, with quotations at 14.98 to 15.08. Soft red winter wheat down 8 cents at 8.28 to 8.29, and the Milo ended 15 cents lower at 7.07 to 7.08. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January delivered corn bids range from 7.19 up to 7.35. January soybean bids at 14.61 to 14.77. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 7.32 up to 7.47. January soybean bids at 14.84 to 15.04. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 7.46 up to 7.65. January soybean bids range from 14.77 to 15.06. And the wheat bids for July 13 delivery, those bids range from 7.77 to 8.10. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 78.55, up 17. February hogs ended at 84.57, down 7. April hogs ended at 89.95, down a half dollar. October cattle yesterday, 124.15, up a quarter. December cattle, 125.97, up 47. February cattle ended at 129.87, up 52. October feeder cattle yesterday, 144.35, up a dollar and a quarter. November feeders, 145.55, up 132. January feeders ended at 147.25, up a dollar 10. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Monday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,082 head today. They're trading $1.16 lower from $70 to $80.31 with a weighted average of $79.97. And in Illinois today, there was 11,981 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a hog carcass was up 83 cents today at $87.86. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 32 to 34, 4 to 5 weights from 33 to $36, and over 500 pounds from 35 to 40. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts were steady again today from 54 to $58. The Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Monday. Hogs are at 433,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week, but up 5,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week, but it's up 4,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 115 fabricated loads and 37 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up $2.29 at $193.96, while selects were up $1.85 at $178.89, leaving the choice select spread at $15.06. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.93 unchanged. For block cheese, $2.10 unchanged. For barrel cheese, $2.06 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Monday, $21.16. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.21. For November, $7.24. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.21. For November, $7.23. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $14.84. For November, $14.99. And wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $7.97. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $7.21. Corn at Scottville, $7.21. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.84. Wheat at Scottville, $7.97. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Partly cloudy skies today, windy, high temperatures in the upper 70s, and we will have south winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, Wednesday, partly cloudy, a chance of showers, the high about 70. And your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy skies, cooler, a chance of a shower on Thursday. Lows in the mid-40s, high temperatures in the low 60s. Right now, southeast winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure falling. We have mostly clear skies, 51 degrees on this Tuesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Hi, we are fifth graders from Carlinville Intermediate School. Halloween is a fun and exciting time.
Here are some safe rules for trick-or-treating. Choose a route for trick-or-treating before Halloween night. Never go trick-or-treating alone.
Go with an adult or with a group.
Carry a flashlight and wear light-colored clothing.
Never go into someone else's house.
Go only to homes with a porch light or outside light lit.
Stay in areas that you know.
Stay in well-lit areas.
6:23 on this Tuesday morning, time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. We have the weekly crop condition report provided by the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Fall harvest and tillage were once again in full swing last week, with some slowdown in activities due to weekend rainfall. An average of 5.1 days were deemed suitable for field work across the state last week. Topsoil moisture was recharged by the rainfall. It is now rated at 12% very short, 23% short, 61% adequate, 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture was reported as 30% very short, 43% short, 26% adequate, 1% surplus. Corn harvest progressed to 87% complete statewide. This compares to 60% last year and 53% as the five-year average. Soybean harvest progressed rapidly with 69% of the state's soybean crop now harvested. In other farm news this morning, recently Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to members of the Highland Farm Credit Office at one of the elevator feeds they host, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Last week, we were with the crew from the Highland Regional Office of Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It was a part of their elevator harvest meal tour, and they were there in Prairie Town serving lots of local producers a nice pork meal during October Pork Month. Mark Hyman is one of the vice presidents there, and Mark talked with us about the great day, harvest, and about his position with Farm Credit.
Yeah, we try to get out as much as we can out of the office. That's one of the reasons we're kind of consolidating some offices and building new ones, is getting bigger staff that allows us to get out and be more mobile. Same thing with mobile technology now. It allows us to get out as well. So,
you were just saying that as we end harvest and you guys start to look forward, you will be sitting down with some customers and really looking into 2013.
Yeah, we're already starting to do some of the operating loans renewals, and you know, that's an opportunity for us to sit down and go through how the year turned out, look forward to 2013. Just a nice chance to just visit with them, and you know, if we haven't seen them for a while. But yeah, main thing is, you know, just to look forward, try and put this year behind us, and hopefully next year is a lot better. So,
now, you mentioned land sales. Do you actually anticipate a few sales coming up this fall, and what are your thoughts along those lines?
Yeah, we're starting to see quite a few auction flyers, and there's been a few sales already, but we're expecting a pretty busy fall. So far from what we've seen, the land prices have, you know, basically about the same or maybe even a little bit higher in some cases. So it's definitely going to be a busy fall.
Now, does that surprise you given the last, you know, 6-7 months?
Actually, we are a little bit surprised, or at least I am. You know, I thought that would have some effect on them, but from what, what we've seen so far, we haven't really seen that. You know, most people do have crop insurance, so, you know, that's given them some protection there. But, yeah, it is a little bit surprising.
One other thing, we've talked to a lot of the representatives of Farm Credit about where they grew up, and most of you grew up on a farm or have a strong connection to the land and to farmers.
Yeah, I grew up in Albers, and my family had a farm equipment dealership, so I grew up around there, and plus we also farmed kind of on the side as well. So, yeah, it's always been, you know, growing up, that's what we did. That's all we knew. So it's nice to, for me, I've been in banking for 20-plus years before I came to Farm Credit. So it's really nice for me to get back to my roots and kind of missed, you know, that aspect of my life, so.
In all businesses of connected with agriculture, it's really with your father's business or with what you're doing now. It's about relationships and trust.
Absolutely. It's one thing I really enjoy is just getting to know and develop that relationship with the customers. Made a lot of friends. I mean, a lot of customers are become, you know, good friends as well. So it's really enjoyable. I love what I do, and can't ask for a better place to work than Farm Credit. So,
Mark Hyman with the Highland Regional Office of Farm Credit Services of Illinois here on WSMI.
On the AM Live program Monday morning, our guest was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers. Recently, some changes have been made in the rules regarding the transport of agricultural commodities, as Don explained.
Under the Federal Highway Bill, which was approved by Congress and signed by the President this summer, included in the bill was some amendments to the exemptions that are granted to certain people transporting agricultural commodities and farm supplies. The ag exemption, as we call it, basically is saying that the exemptions which are granted right now that farmers have in terms of the hours of service and those types of things, will be expanded to not just the immediate family, but also to anyone who drives for the farmer and who's driving a farm-plated vehicle. The important part to remember is that even though the statutory language took effect October 1, the state of Illinois still has to adopt rules that will reflect the federal changes, and that's going to take probably about a good 6 months before they get around to adopting those regulations.
Will that need to be done by the legislature?
Well, it looks like it can be done by the regulatory process, which is a regulatory board, I suppose you call it, that would publish the rules and get public opinion on them, and then turn around and then issue them. That could take, 6 months to do that. But the important part to remember there is that a lot of these changes in the regulation that they're talking about, there are changes, yes, but not. Some of the things that probably are most important are that the exemptions to the federal regulations basically cover any farmer who's operating within 100 air mile radius of their base of operation, their farm. It means a lot of farmers going down to the river terminal, those types of things. What this does is that it expands it to 150 miles, which is big for certain types of farmers who are hauling, maybe livestock, who are hauling grain to certain places, whereby they didn't have the exemptions because it was only 100 miles. Now that expands it to 150. The important part is that, remember, though, that this only covers farm-plated vehicles. It does not cover for-hire transportation. So, in other words, for a farmer hauling grain, it usually means moving the grain from the field to the elevator, the first move. Anything after the first move is not considered an exempt move. It is, in fact, a for-hire move.
And that was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, our guest on the AM Live program Monday morning. The development of weeds resistant to herbicides is a direct result of overuse. Todd Gleason has more on how simplicity and convenience have bred super weeds.
The herbicide are glyphosate-resistant weeds that have evolved in the Corn Belt in states like Illinois and Iowa are a symptom of a system that is not well managed. That's the opinion of Iowa State Extension weed scientist Mike Owen.
Growers over the last decade and a half have fallen into the siren song of simplicity and convenience. A gentleman by the name of Chuck Darwin, about 100 years ago, talked about herbicide-resistant weeds. Now, when he wrote The Origin of the Species and described the Galapagos finches, that's important. That's an evolutionary statement. But in reality, Darwin was talking about herbicide-resistant common water hemp. He was talking about herbicide-resistant giant ragweed, and he was talking about herbicide-resistant mare's tail in Illinois and in Iowa. And the fact that no matter what one does, if one does a tactic or a strategy to manage weeds or anything else for that matter, and that's all one does is use a specific strategy or tactic, ultimately Mother Nature will provide the opportunity for that pest, and in my case, that weed, to no longer respond to that tactic or strategy.
Owen goes on to say that truthfully, if farmers were to learn how to manage weeds, there would be no need to manage resistance.
The reason that we've gotten ourselves into this situation and the growers found that glyphosate was the way to go, it was simple, it was convenient, and they measured the success of glyphosate on whether or not the weeds died. That's wrong. We do not use herbicides to kill weeds. We use herbicides to protect crop yield, which means that we need to use a more diverse set of tools to protect the crop yield early in the season and later in the season. We can't do that with a post-emergence product. We let the weeds emerge with the crop. We are going to lose bushels. And at $6 to $7 a bushel for corn and $12 to $14 a bushel for soybean, we can't afford that.
Owen believes the only way to manage weeds for bushels and resistance is to kick the glyphosate-only habit and use other weed control products and methods in conjunction with it. I'm Todd Gleason.
In other farm news this morning, most of the crops are out of the field. While there is getting to be more certainty about the supply situation for corn and soybean meal, North Dakota State University Extension swine specialist David Newman says the wild times continue for pork producers. He encourages producers to focus on efficiency.
The best way producers are going to be able to do that is to mitigate the cost of their feed by having good management, looking at diets, working with nutritionists, making sure you're managing your feeders correctly, pen size. There's also a lot of factors that go in there in terms of what type of feedstuffs you're using. Here in North Dakota, we have the availability potentially using other feedstuffs. And depending on their price and their nutrient capabilities, they may be cost advantageous for producers.
The Pork Checkoff has compiled drought-related management resources to help pork producers deal with the current situation. That information is available at www.pork.org. Not only has the drought caused corn prices to go higher, which has also increased feed prices, but it has caused cattle farmers to turn to alternative feeds. Apparently, some of those alternatives include candy. Some cattle farmers struggling to feed corn to their cattle are feeding them chocolate bars, gummy worms, ice cream sprinkles, marshmallows, pieces of hard candy, and hot chocolate mix. Great Plains Livestock Consulting livestock nutritionist Kai Fanning says this practice has been going on for decades and is a good way for producers to reduce feed costs, which he says also provides less expensive food for consumers. Corn costs nearly $315 a ton, but ice cream sprinkles cost as little as $160 a ton. Indiana dairy farmer Mike Yoder says he feeds his 400 cows some candy, crumbled cookies, breakfast cereal, dried cranberries, and orange peelings mixed in with traditional feed. And he goes over this menu every couple of weeks with his livestock nutritionist, who advised him to limit the cow to 3% of candy. While this may be a good alternative for a while, the one problem is as demand for candy feed increases, so will the price. On the Chicago Board of Trade right now at Electronic Trading, December wheat now trading at 855, up 6 3/4. March wheat trading at 867, up 6 1/2. December corn now trading at 744, up 6 3/4. March corn trading at 743 3/4, up 6 1/2. November soybeans now trading at $15.5, up 8. January beans trading at $15.5, up 8 3/4. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hemel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.